Today, on the All Things Pizza podcast, I speak with three remarkable individuals who are using pizza to have a positive impact on their communities in the midst of the coronavirus outbreak. Let's do this. The world we're living in today looks very different than it did just a month or two ago. Nearly every industry, from global corporations to mom-and-pop businesses, has been impacted by the spread of the coronavirus. And the news about its toll seems to come at an increasingly rapid pace, with new regulations being put in place, the cancellation of events, and the personal toll of friends and family who have contracted the virus or know someone who has. To me, pizza has always been a food that brings people together. It's an unofficial, universal symbol of joy and happiness. It's a dish that's best shared with others, something that's difficult to do right now. With all the grim news that's being transmitted through our phones and TV screens each day, I wanted to counteract that by sharing some positive, heartwarming pizza-related stories that are taking place around the country. So in this episode of the All Things Pizza podcast, I speak with three pizzeria owners who are stepping up during this unprecedented time. There's John, a pizzeria owner in the Chicago suburbs, who's bundling a unique item with each order from his restaurant. And Brian, who owns a pizza spot in Minnesota, whose idea for how to help feed local children has spread to dozens of other locations. But my first guest today is Mike Morin, who is an owner of Federico's in Belmar, New Jersey, and has taken out a credit line of $50,000 to make sure his employees get paid during the coronavirus crisis. Here's my conversation with Mike about this generous act.
Would love to hear about, you know, Federico's and how long you've been around, and tell me a bit about the business.
We're in Belmar, New Jersey. We've been around. It's a family business. So my brother, myself, my father, and I have another brother who's now a New Jersey State Trooper. We've been around for about 24 years.
That's great.
Yeah.
And, I know you guys are in a beach town, you know, in a typical year, what would business be looking like this time of year, you know, March, April?
We're pretty local, friendly. We've been there 24 years. I think we're one of the oldest restaurants there. We get all the people that live there all year round. So it's not terrible. There is a big jump in the summer.
Yep.
With all the renters that come down. We stay a bit, not crazy busy, but enough to pay the help and, keep the lights on, you know,
yep.
to get to the summertime.
Yeah, no, makes sense. And tell me about this idea you had, given the current circumstances and you know, how that sort of came to be.
It's funny. It was like a no-brainer for us because every day you saw it was getting worse and getting worse. So we said, you know, let's take out money so we can support the people that support us. It was funny that the way it came about was that my brother was talking to a friend and that's what he said. He said, well, if you guys have to close, we're like, what are you going to do? He goes, we already did it. He's like, what do you mean? He said, my brother and I already talked. We ended up taking money out of the bank just to, you know, have it to help out the people who take care of us. And he's like, what? And he's like, well, and then he contacted a friend who was a columnist. I think he's from the Star Ledger, NJ.com. And he wrote a story about it. We didn't think anyone was going to read it, you know. It wasn't something we put out there to get business or whatever. We were just, you know, he said, oh, it kind of was a feel-good story about, you know, small business. You know, what are you going to do? But, yeah, we had no idea this was going to happen. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, yeah. You got a lot of great responsive press about this.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's like, in the beginning, it was like, what's going on? You know, it's like, my brother and I were not that, you know, we don't like to be out in the public eye. We're just kind of humble people that just want to go to work every day and, you know, just, you know, make a living for our families and just do what we can, you know?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. So this, like, $50,000 line of credit, like, how many employees do you have? Like, how long will kind of that last?
We have 20 employees.
Yeah.
We have 20 employees. We're as long as it can, you know. We're saying if we had to close tomorrow, I mean, pretty much 2 months. We were figuring, you know, everyone gets a paycheck. So, you know, and then like if something happens, then we'll try to figure something else out. You know, because I can't. You see it on the news. I was watching something last night. It's just, I understand why people get, you know, you have 1,000 employees and stuff like that. We're fortunate. We are a small business and we have 20. You have to do something. You can't just throw it into the wind and say, all right, you know, Go figure it out yourself. You got to give them something. I mean, it's our employees, most people are, you know, week to week.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden you cut, you know, all of a sudden it's not, no fault of theirs. You just say, all right, you don't have a job anymore. I mean, that's, to me, that's not right. That's not how it was brought up. And if I could help in any way, my employees who I love, my family, and they support my family, so we had to do something, and that's pretty much the story. We're doing what we have to do, you know.
Yep. I mean, this is something that it seems like every restaurant or you know, small business owner would like to do. You think it's just the finances that are, you know, preventing, you know, more people from doing something like this?
I don't know. I guess it has to do with finances, but I don't know. There's a lot of people that, you know, would take the $50,000 and just so they're safe. You know what I mean? Just, you know, cut everybody else and take it for themselves. We're not that kind of people. I don't know why. I mean, I'm quite sure there's other business owners that could have done it, or still can do it. Just a little something, you know, but that's their prerogative, you know. That's not for everybody. That's just something we did, but that's how we were brought up. And like, the Jersey Shore was when Sandy hit. At the time, we were out of power for, I think, a week and a half, 2 weeks. So we brought most of our guys in and we paid them. We had no income coming in.
Yeah.
But we knew these guys had families, you know, and we paid them to basically come in and cook all the food we have and give it away to the neighborhood.
That's great.
Because that's what we had to do.
That's wonderful. You know, hopefully, you know, things get back to normal, especially by summertime. If people find themselves visiting the Jersey Shore and stop by, what's the go-to kind of first order that people should grab from you guys?
I'm a traditional, just straight up chicken parm. That's my thing. Just chicken parm, dinner with big portions. Everyone loves our penne vodka too. So if you're looking for a dinner, chicken parm, penne vodka, pizza. Everyone loves the margarita. That's my wife's favorite. And then we just grandma pie. That's another good one. Yeah, it's my favorite.
Nice. And in the meantime, if people, you know, want to support you guys, what's the best thing they could do in the meantime?
From our stance, we want people to support their local business. Like anyone who's out there like us that's open, mm-hmm. to support their local pizza place, like local whatever's open, Chinese, just because those people, you're going to need those restaurants, and support those workers and let them, because if you're out of work and you have a little extra and then you can afford to help somebody else, you know, support. You know, like I said, I think it was hashtag takeout or, support the local businesses in your area. You know, that's what we're talking about right now, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I think it's, you know, very noble what you're doing. And, your staff is very lucky to have, the support of you and your family. So I think it's really incredible and really, appreciate you taking the time to kind of share your story with me. I'm not too far away. I'm in New York. My wife's family is in Monmouth County. So I will, do my best when things are back to normal to stop by this summer, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely stop in. I'm looking forward to seeing you. And it was a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Mike.
That was Mike Morin of Federico's in Belmar, New Jersey, just about 10 minutes south of Asbury Park along the Jersey Shore. A pretty remarkable story and something that I have not heard any other restaurant owners doing. Next up is my chat with John Derning, the owner of Pizzeria DeVille in Libertyville, Illinois, who is bundling each takeout or delivery pie from his restaurant with a particularly essential item these days, toilet paper. How many rolls has he given out so far? Here's my conversation with John.
Yeah, I would love to start off. I would just love to hear about your pizzeria in Libertyville, Illinois.
Yeah, so we're a little pizzeria. We seat about 80 people. We have a private party room too, but that's not always open. We've been open about 5.5 years. Doing wood-fired neo-Neapolitan style pies, a lot of community involvement, a great little town that we operate in, kind of a restaurant hub for the area. Before St. Patrick's Day, when all of the craziness started in the stores, I went to Costco to get a couple of supplies, and I witnessed 3 or 4 people kind of yelling at one of the store clerks about, where's the toilet paper? Really going nuts.
Yeah.
And I said, I have excuse the pun, I have shitloads of toilet paper pre-wrapped at the restaurant. Maybe we should do something with that. So we started throwing a sticker on individually wrapped rolls of toilet paper and giving them out with each check. And then when we got shut down to do just takeout and delivery, we started delivering those with each order, whether it's takeout or delivery, and it just went nuts. People loved it, and so they went crazy with that. And we're like, we do some other stuff too, in terms of like, right now, if you go give blood and show us your slip, you'll get a free pizza, and some other things just to try to generate business while also doing some good for the community. So we've always tried to do that, but that's kind of how the thing got going.
Yeah, I love that. How many rolls of toilet paper, if you had to estimate, have you guys given out over the past couple of weeks?
Well, since I know we've gone through case-wise about 600.
Okay.
And we had some spares lying around. And then we had discontinued this weekend because our supplier, Cisco, ran out of them. But we've got 4 more cases coming in today. So I've got a fresh 400 rolls to start the week. And away we'll go.
That's amazing. I love that.
I think the first week of real shutdown here in Illinois was last week, and people were crazy supportive. The reality is that, you know, as people sink into this and it goes longer and longer, I think that not that the support's going to wane, but frankly, mm-hmm. people's ability to dine out every night is going to wane, and they're going to have to realize that the stock market's going to continue to get pounded, and they're going to hold a little tighter to their wallet. So we're trying to come up with items that are fun and maybe a little less expensive, a little slimmer margin for us, but, you know, take and bake pizza kits and pans of food and price them in a way that people can really access them.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds like business, you know, has been pretty good for you guys so far.
So far, so good. I think this week will be telling, and, you know, next week will be different. I just think the longer we go, the harder it's going to become for everybody.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Is there a toilet paper brand of choice that is being handed out?
I don't know, except what brand Cisco brings us in these pre-wrap.
Okay.
I do know that for years they have mocked me because they're like, why are you using such a nice quality 2-ply brand of toilet paper? And I said, listen, they talk about different moments of truth in any business. I would say that when someone goes to the bathroom, that's a moment of truth as well. So we want to have quality all the way to the end.
I completely agree. As somebody who has used many pizzeria bathrooms and restaurant bathrooms, there's
something
so nice
the risk
to
of
that.
People stealing them, you know, which they do occasionally, you know, we just sort of roll the dice and do it.
Yeah, no, makes sense. How I understand you're from the New York area. How'd you end up in the Chicago suburbs?
I actually went to college out in the Chicago suburbs, and while I moved back to New York, and I am late to the pizza game. I was in commercial real estate banking for many, many years, and always loved pies and made them at home, and, you know, worked in the food industry as a kid, but finally just said, I better go do this. So right before I turned 50, I opened this place, and I did it because this town I live in is this great little restaurant town, but they didn't have, in my opinion, like any really great wood-fired pizzas. So we decided to take the plunge.
I love that. I love that. That's great. And I know we talked a lot about kind of giving back to the community. I noticed like on your website, there's a whole section dedicated to how you guys support the community. Tell me a little bit about why, you know, that's so important to you and supporting charities and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, for all kinds of reasons, I was raised by some parents who really believed in looking out for people who had less than us. And so that's really where it started. But when we opened the restaurant, I knew I didn't want to be doing coupons, and I wasn't going to be in Savor magazines, and I didn't want to, you know, do traditional advertising. I couldn't afford to do TV or radio, but what I could afford to do was try to make people's lives better and see if that couldn't translate into some customers. And so it's everything from every week we do pizzas to raise money for a different nonprofit in the area. And most of the nonprofits we try to support with that kind of program or with our charity dinners is going to be those who are really in need. So it's food, shelter, that kind of stuff, mental health services, the developmentally disabled vets, that kind of stuff. And so every year we started, our first year we hosted 3 charity dinners, and we would bring different chefs from around Chicago in who would agree to come in and volunteer their time. And so we've done 5 years worth of those. And, you know, every year it raises somewhere between $15,000 and $18,000 for the local pads, pantries, and shelters here in our community. And then the monthly pies, you know, they generally throw off anywhere from $200 to $500 for our Tuesday night pizzas to, again, just a lot of worthwhile people who are out there fighting the fight on behalf of people who have a harder time doing that. And for me, like, it makes you feel good. Like, that's mm-hmm. the main thing. Like, it's been good for business, but more importantly, I go home at night and I sleep well because I know we're out there trying to help people.
Great. That's wonderful. I love that. For those that, you know, might not be familiar with the pizzeria and want to support you guys, what's like a good go-to order for a first-time customer?
Well, you'll find that our pizzas are all over the board. Some of our more popular ones are actually one called My Favorite Pie, which we which I used to eat at Vinny's Pizzeria in Scarsdale, New York. And it's just a shaved meatball with crushed red pepper, good quality Parmesan and mozzarella, tomato sauce, and that's a huge seller. We have this really goofy pizza that started as an appetizer at this outdoor concert venue that I used to make for people. And so we made a pizza out of it. We call it the Ma Pie because it has goat cheese on it. But it's spicy fig jam and spinach and pistachios and caramelized onions with fontina and goat cheese. It's one of our very biggest sellers. It's not personally my favorite because I'm not a huge sweet pizza guy, but yeah. But it's like people go nuts for it, especially the book club crowd. And so those are some things. All our salads are made in house. All the dressings are made in house. So people love our salads. They tend to be pretty bountiful. Our meatballs are super popular. We do several varieties from Thai chicken meatballs and buffalo chicken meatballs to traditional Italian meatballs. So those are some of the items for sure that people gravitate to.
That's great. And have you kind of kept like the same delivery radius during everything that's going on?
Yeah, we'll stretch a little bit because we have a food truck. So like there's a town we do a lot of business in, Lake Bluff, which is outside our radius, but we try to get over there when people call from over there. But otherwise, you know, the pizza, this wood-fired pizza doesn't travel so well like a baked rake pie. We have started doing Detroit's, which took off when we started about a year ago. And so those are going crazy. They travel a little bit better. But, you know, people are being very patient about the delivery side of things. And like, if I didn't have to do delivery, I probably wouldn't because it does compromise the quality for sure. But you know, it's important to do it.
Gotcha. Yeah, for sure. You've expanded with some Detroit style pies. I hope you don't take the plunge to deep dish at any point.
No, sir. No, sir. Plenty of lasagna pizza out here already.
I know you're in the epicenter. So,
But I mean, I will say like the community has been just fantastic with us.
That's wonderful. Well, I hope that, you know, business, keeps on coming and that, we get back to some semblance of normalcy sooner rather than later, but I don't know
if that's going to happen, but we'll see.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I mean, one of the great concerns is like today, and we have a very small staff at this point, and and it's really our nucleus, but like, and we only really see each other and when we go home at night to our families, but the second anyone walks in or calls and says, hey, I've got the flu, I got it. Like we're shut down.
Yeah.
And so that's truly the scary part of it is you don't want to pass it along to other people. And so we're doing everything we can to avoid that. And our no contact delivery is like down pat. We got all of that and the place is as clean as can be. But statistically, at some point, someone's going to get it and we're going to have to close. Like that's just how statistics work.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that, you know, that it doesn't happen too soon. And we have an opportunity to get our legs a little bit, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. Is the delivery through yourselves, or are you through Uber Eats and Seamless?
So we used to use Uber Eats, DoorDash, Grubhub, all of them, and I just financially, that model didn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah.
So we started telling our servers, who actually do quite well at our restaurant, at our busy little restaurant, I said, listen, if you want to be a server here, you have to deliver once a week and we're going to rotate what nights. And there was some hemming and hawing at first. And then, you know, the first crappy night weather-wise that someone walked in and said, God, I made like $160 last night.
Yeah.
They all said, oh, I'll deliver.
Yep.
So we actually employ our own servers to do the delivery. And we find customers love it because it's a familiar face that they see walking up the driveway to bring their food. Like it's great. And I certainly deliver when we're busy as well.
Yeah. Well, it certainly bodes well for everything that's, going on now. You don't have to retrain anyone to, to deliver.
Right. They know the menu. They know how we work. It's worked out pretty well so far.
Great. What does your staff, like, headcount look like?
We've got 5 guys that are mostly kids and women that are kitchen folks, and then probably 6 out front. But when I started doing the takeout and delivery, we make a point of never having more than 8 or 9 people in the facility, including drivers. We've completely blocked off customers coming into the restaurant since then. So we've sort of gone, like, there are others who say, oh, well, they can come in and get their stuff. We said, no, we're not good with that. We want to do this the right way if we're going to do it. So that's been our kind of approach to it.
That's great. Well, yeah, I hope
that number under 10.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. Well, I hope, you know, things continue to, you know, go well for you guys, or as well as they can in these circumstances, and that you're able to, you know, keep everyone on board, and that, you know, those orders keep coming through, and that toilet paper keeps getting handed out.
We appreciate your interest very much, and the help you can give us.
Thank you so much, John.
That was John Durning from Pizzeria DeVille in Libertyville, Illinois, about 45 minutes north of Chicago. So if there's a toilet paper shortage in the Midwest, you know where to go. My final guest today is Brian Atwood, who owns a location of Topper's Pizza in Blaine, Minnesota. Once schools in the area shut down, he decided to offer free lunch for children at his pizzeria. And this offer has now been rolled out to many more locations of the regional pizza chain. Here's my conversation with Brian.
So I would love to start off, would love to hear about yourself and, you know, how long you worked at Topper's.
Okay. Well, we opened the Topper's location here in Blaine, Minnesota in May of 2018. So it's just about our second birthday. Before that, I was active in the Army. My wife's a realtor, and we just fell in love with Topper's way back in college down in Mankato. And so when it came time that we were looking to do something different and have a, you know, kind of, we wanted to both own our own business. We looked into a ton, inquired into a ton, and got, you know, pretty, you know, just weak information back as far as like, oh yeah, send us your franchise fee and you're good to go. Good luck. And I'm like, well, you don't know what we're doing. Once we reached out to Topper's, we actually saw Topper's advertise on a veteran franchising site. And that's when I was like, you know, that's kind of funny because, you know, we had crazy, you know, college type memories of Topper's, but maybe we should look into it. And once we reached out to that team, I mean, they just embraced us right away and helped us get set up and, you know, felt like it's an awesome community. And so that's where we fell in love with it and decided to do it. And it's been great.
That's awesome. For those who aren't familiar, like, how many Topper's locations are there and, you know, what region are they, you know, prevalent in?
Okay. Well, it's most stores are here in Wisconsin and Minnesota. Now we have had, you know, the word's been spreading. There's been some branching out otherwise. I know there's a couple in Virginia, Texas, Kansas, Illinois, I want to say. I'm going to test my memory here. But the reach is, I mean, it's mostly franchisee owned. I want to say we're at 66 locations right now, give or take a few.
That's great. And, you know, so obviously, you know, with the, you know, spread of coronavirus, things, you know, change daily, but, you know, how has your area kind of been hit so far? And, you know, what's life been like, you know, in the midst of this pandemic by you?
Right. I mean, it's been, you know, like you said, it changes every single day. I was having daily briefings with my GM. I've gotten there now and the team, and it seems like I would just, you know, have to do a full 180 the next day and say, okay, that's not what we're doing. Let's figure out something else. But I mean, more than anything, it's, I guess, you know, it started out team member concern, things like that, but Topper's has been great in working with all of us to make sure that, you know, we can pass on to our teams good procedures, good practices. And now that Minnesota is officially on our shelter at home order, we just changed to, listen, like, we're dining is never a big thing for us. We're not much of it. We have a few tables, but we're a delivery business and we excel at that. And so we're just like, you know what, let's just tighten up, really dominate the delivery market and offering curbside pickup too. So we implemented small things like texting arrival and or call when you're here and kind of allows the team to communicate with the customers that are out front without having to have contact with them. So small things like that that have been just awesome. Team adapted really, really well. And we weren't sure what to expect sales-wise. The first week when it started, we were kind of perfectly level. Like, okay, maybe we didn't get hit that much.
Yep.
And then we launched a couple of community campaigns once we learned that how badly some of our neighbors were getting hit. We're like, well, maybe, you know, since we were level and hopefully we'll stay level, let's do a few things. And then, you know, this last week our sales actually went way up because we're, you know, we're kind of made ourselves that that middleman to kind of pass on, like, hey, help order from Toppers, and we're just passing on every bit of it that we can to try and help the help our community here in Blaine.
That's great. So I understand that you had this idea about how, you know, Toppers could help kids at this time. Tell me sort of how you came up with that idea.
Yep. My wife and I and daughter were down in Mankato, where most of my family's from, and we were meeting with my brother. He's got three kids, and our daughter's 18 months old, so it's like we're not in that situation yet. But they were just start thinking about, you know, like their own planning, and like, geez, I mean, we don't even stock lunch foods or anything. It's like we have, you know, some cereal and then dinner stuff. So we guys were thinking about that, and then it was actually my sister-in-law, I think, was the one that was like, gosh, I can't imagine all the people that are like in school and they rely on school for lunches. And honestly, it didn't even, you know, click with us right away. We're like, wow, that's crazy. Like, I wonder what they would do. And started thinking maybe we could do some sort of special offer or something, a discount. And then once we had my wife and I were just talking about it, we're like, you know, how many do you think there really are? I mean, maybe we could just like, hey, we hand out a few free pizzas that, you know, get people excited about it, just help a couple people. And, you know, remind people who we are and that Toppers Blaine is locally owned and operated and we're your neighbors and we're here to help if we can. And so, yeah, we kind of decided on that and we're like, you know what, let's just do it. And then I was kind of shocked. So it was 2 weeks ago now and it exploded, absolutely exploded. Like over 500 shares on Facebook. People were like, oh, wow, I wonder what kind of response we're going to get. First day we gave out about 40 free pizzas. Second day we gave about 60 to 70 free pizzas. And that was, I mean, of, you know, obviously now if people look at pizza as a, you know, for using a current relative term, much of an essential business, it's more of a luxury. But my team was reporting back to me, and I, when I was working in the store or when I would just stop in to check on my team, and they'd be like, you would not believe people are coming in today crying and offering hugs if it wasn't for all the virus going on. And like I felt super, like it was super rewarding, but those great parts my team did too. And they were like, I felt so cool that I could give this family free pizza and they, you know, they legit needed it. Like we had no idea how many there were in town. And so it was really surprising for us. And just, you know, the response was huge.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Were you able to really launch this just at your location immediately? Did you have to get like any kind of like corporate approval? And you know, with so many locations have other locations adapted.
Exactly. So no, Toppers is really great. That as long as we're not doing anything to damage the brand, you know, it's this Blaine store is my store and I run my show. So they're not worried. They weren't worried about that at all. We just had the idea. I'm like, let's just see what happens. And it's funny, that same day that we posted, within a couple hours, I saw like 3-4 more businesses doing it. Not, you know, not saying that they saw our post, but that a lot of people had the same idea, which is really cool. To see that the community is kind of band together, took the schools, not to knock them, they're going through a lot right now, but it took them a few weeks to kind of figure out, okay, we can have some sort of lunch program. That's a long time. That's a long time for people that need food. But yeah, once we got onto it, I heard from a couple of the franchisees that they were trying to think of something similar. And then just adjusted to kind of the same platform we were doing and just make it simple. Small pizzas, free pizzas come in during lunch hours that you would have been getting lunch during school. No questions asked, no anything. Just come in and say you're there for your free pizza and hand it out. And it was huge. And so once we had a couple more franchisees dive in, it was just, you know, it speaks to who kind of Toppers is and who we want the company to be. And once the franchisees got on board and saw the response and the corporate stores got on board, and there's about 20 corporate stores. Most of the company is doing, I think just a handful of places that aren't, but even the ones that aren't are kind of doing their own thing to try and give back. So it was huge. Yeah. Once a couple people saw it, I'm like, yeah, I gave out a ton of free pizzas today, but these people will now know who we are and they'll think of Toppers forever. And that was the most rewarding, beneficial thing we've ever done here.
It's incredible. And in the, you know, 2 weeks or so that you've been doing this at your store, about how many free pizzas do you think you've given out?
I will spread. It slowed down this week. We had some, you know, thankfully the town had a lot of options for people this week where they didn't our first week. But I would say probably about 250.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And is the idea to keep this going kind of until the schools open back up or through the end of the month? Or
well, we started through end of the month, so which is now. But we're discussing opening it back up. I mean, if there's still people that need it, it was, you know, great to, you know, a lot of our friends and neighbors and people we wouldn't have even thought of that were like, we really needed it. And, you know, it's a small hit for us, financially when it's taking care of people that are really, really struggling more than thankfully we are right now, since pizza has been a stable business. So yeah, it's in the talks. We might continue on as we just reached the end of our initial plan, but we are branching out with a couple other things too, as far as community food shelves and things of that sort.
That's great. I mean, it's incredible that you know, during these difficult times, you hear all these really, you know, heartwarming stories about businesses like yours who are kind of going above and beyond to make sure their communities are taken care of.
Yeah. You can say there was a lot in Blaine. We were truly shocked how many businesses were stepping up once they got the idea. You can go almost anywhere in town and people are offering free food. So that was really cool.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to share what you're doing, and, you know, I hope things get back to normal, sooner rather than later, but, you know, I want to wish you continued, you know, success, and hopefully, you know, we all make it through the other side of this, you know, in an even better place than we were before. So,
yeah, sounds great. Appreciate it, Jason.
Thanks so much, Brian.
That was Brian Atwood of Topper's Pizza in Blaine, Minnesota. I want to thank all my guests on today's episode. These are really tough times, and it's because of people like Brian and like John from Pizzeria DeVille in Illinois and Mike from Frederico's in New Jersey that people in those communities are going to be able to make it through this thing. Generosity like this is taking place in thousands of other towns and cities across America. You know, pizza might seem like something insignificant at a time like this, but it's really just a means by which people who are involved in the pizza industry are able to give back. I'm sure you've seen on social media the work that many pizzerias have been doing in terms of delivering free food to hospital workers. And I can only imagine that biting into a slice provides just a little bit of respite to all the first responders and heroes out there. I mentioned earlier that one of the most awesome things about pizza, in my opinion, is that it's a food that's best shared with others, and I'm personally looking forward to the day that I'm able to do that again. I hope everyone stays safe and healthy and takes care of themselves, and I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to the latest episode of the All Things Pizza podcast, and I will see you very soon.